everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the wonderfully pleasant summer street. Well, not summer, fall streets of Chicago. But it feels like summer today. And I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing,
brother? Living the dream, man. You sound like you're speedrunning the intro. It seems like maybe an homage to how much time we have.
Exactly. I have limited time, but I wanted to bust this one out because things are happening so fast and furious.
Fast and furious.
That if I don't get this cut and posted pretty quickly, it might be archaic news. We recorded a rambling, probably our worst episode ever after on a second listen. I couldn't even believe how bad it was. We were yelling at each other. I was yelling, I wanted Dame, you didn't, and that's the essence of what we did for about 45 straight minutes. And it was just a very poor episode, and I'm glad it never saw the light of day. So that said, that topic is over. Obviously, Dame has been traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. What say you about that trade, but most importantly, what are the ramifications for the Bulls?
I mean, there's no ramifications for the Bulls because we are not contenders to do anything except lose in the first round anyway. So that hasn't changed. And, you know, for the Bucks, it seems pretty fantastic. For Damian Lillard, it seems pretty fantastic. I think for the Blazers, it's fantastic. And for the Suns, I think it's pretty solid. So everyone involved in that trade got what they wanted. And I guess now we're looking at the leftovers. Like, can we get a hold of Jrue Holiday? My first blush was like, there's no way this makes sense. And I'm going to throw out to you then, you know, the one trade I think is a possibility is Lonzo Ball, which of course we don't care about because he's probably never going to play again. Alex Caruso, Pat Williams, and the Blazers' first-round pick back for Jrue Holiday. You in?
Did you see my Twitter post earlier today?
No, I didn't. I don't follow you on Twitter.
It's remarkably similar to what I had suggested, but with a different tinge.
Yeah, what's your tinge?
That's an interesting take on it. So my post that 3 hours ago was, would you support the following trade to acquire the services of Jrue Holiday if the Blazers would agree to it? Patrick Williams plus Lonzo Ball plus an unprotected future first plus cap filler to make the deal happen. That would not include Caruso. What do you think the take was from the audience? Where do you think that poll is at right now when almost 300 votes?
I'd say 50-50.
51-49 in favor of getting Jrue. What say you on that trade? And then I'll comment on
it. I'll say no, and I'll also say I don't think that trade is possible with the Bulls avoiding the luxury tax unless Alex Caruso is the filler, which is why I ended up on my portion of the trade. If you replace your portion of the trade with unprotected first, with Portland's first, then I'm maybe in. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of indifferent to it. Probably in, I guess, at that point.
So you're telling me that there's no way the Bulls can make that trade without going into luxury tax. And I said cap filler, so throwing in another player. I thought it was pretty close with Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball, plus an unprotected future first, plus cap filler. So that cap filler, I guess, is the key.
Yeah, who's the cap filler? You can't trade almost anyone. You can't trade Kobe White. You can't trade Ayo Dosunmu. You can't trade Javon Carter. You can't trade Torrey Craig. Like, there's just not a lot of cap filler you can use. And then the thing is, you got to remember, we have roster minimums. So if you move someone like Dalen Terry as the cap filler, once you re-sign a guy at $2 million right, to replace Terry, you're like only, you know, saving $1 million on the cap. So I haven't done like all of the robust calculations. Maybe there's some way to do this with like Terry and Andre Drummond. And then you replace those guys with minimum guys and you duck the tax. But just my napkin math, when I glanced at it real quick, was it basically had to be Lonzo and Caruso and Pat Williams was the only way you're going to avoid the tax after you added back in the minimum salary guys to replace the roster spots.
Well, let's pretend they'd be willing to pay
okay,
the tax.
Okay, now we're off in fantasy land too.
You said you would not support
that.
Can
we pretend
trade?
We also get LeBron James? Yeah. I mean, if we're going to pretend things like that we know for sure aren't going to happen, then I have more exciting things to pretend that I'm getting Jrue Holiday.
Doug, you admitted there might be cap filler options in there that would keep Caruso
on
the team.
Yeah, I'll do a robust
look. Let's go with that
theory. My napkin math is wrong.
What do you not like
about
it?
Your cap expertise is better. I think it's a safe assumption based on history. But yeah, okay.
Why don't you like that deal?
I mean, I just, what are we going to do? Lose in the first round with Jrue Holiday, but be closer? We have like a 20% chance of getting to the second round. And then what? You're giving up another unprotected first round pick? Like, you're just, I just do not want to keep trading assets that are valuable in the future to just toss on to this pile of mediocrity with another guy in the old folks home.
Hold on a second, Doug. DeMar DeRozan, yeah. Zach LaVine, Drew Holiday. Okay. DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Drew Holiday, Caruso, Vooch.
Yep.
You think that team is a first round exit?
Yep.
I disagree vociferously that the only team in the East to me that clearly beats them is the Milwaukee.
I do not
Bucks.
Give a crap and I think about the phrase clearly beats
maybe
them.
Maybe Boston.
Like you throw the phrase clearly out there as a way to like muddy the waters. Like, yes, maybe the Bucks are the only team that clearly beats them, but they most likely do not get out of the first round. Cleveland is probably better than them. Boston is probably better than them. And some other team is just going to end up better.
Who's better?
Sorry, Cleveland and Boston are better than them.
I don't think so. Not those four. Not with Drew Holiday playing.
Well, those three won 40 games last year.
We haven't even talked about Javon
Carter. Those three won 40 games last year.
Yeah, but... Oh, Doug, if you're adding Drew Holiday, who's an elite defensive player...
I don't really
player.
Think he's an
You're
elite
adding
defensive
Javon
player.
Javon Carter, elite defensive player. Wait.
I don't think those guys are
what?
Elite defensive
Repeat.
Players anymore. I think they're good defensive
There's
players.
There's no doubt
I think
that
above
Drew
Holiday's
an elite defensive player. I don't even know how we can debate
I
this.
So. I think he's an above average defender.
What do you mean?
Elite? I don't think he's elite. I think he's above average. Whatever. I don't want to get caught in the semantics of the phrase elite. Like, if you said who are the, like, elite would be like the LeBron James of defense. Like, that's not Drew Holiday. Like, I don't think. But whatever, again, that's semantics.
He's an all-NBA defender.
He's a really good defender. Just leave it at that. He's a really good defender. I agree with you there. So so go on.
Pretty solid as a two-way guard. Okay. And you're adding that to a team last year. You're also adding Javon Carter and Torrey Craig. And we haven't factored that into a team that won, 40 games last year. And you're subtracting only the great Patrick Williams. And you don't think that's a team that can compete for the third –
You just completely moved the goalposts. You said, like, we started with it's a team that is definitely going to get to the second round, and now you've changed it to a team that can compete for the second round. Yes, I think that team can compete for the second round. I don't want to go, like, trade another 29 pick. We're already going to be screwed for, like, 5 years when this thing ends. Like, I don't want to make it 7 years so I can get to the second round one time. And it's like a 50-50 of getting
one more first rounder.
Yeah, but you've lost all of the assets that you would have built up over this time. You lost two lottery picks that would have been guys that come up. Like, so you only owe one more
first rounder. Can't handle it. It's too late.
Yeah, I know. But like now you're adding on to that. Like you've already hurt. That's why I said you're already 5 years you've hosed yourself for when this thing ends by not having those really high-end young assets. And now you're going to give up another one. And that one is almost certainly going to be really valuable because of all the other stuff you've already given up and the fact that you're building this very old roster that's going to fall apart. Now, maybe I'm going to throw this back at you because I think your trade, hypothetical trade, if you can figure out the salary stuff, you could probably just say, hey, top four protected, right? Like, and that changes the dynamics of that a lot right now. You're no longer,
sure.
And I think Portland would still do that if it's better than whatever else they're getting. So I think you throw some protection on there. You don't say unprotected. And then I think that like at least protects you from the worst case scenarios of giving up like a really high-end superstar. Like I would be incredibly mad, and I think you would too, if we missed out on like the next superstar number one pick in the draft because we had Drew Holiday for a year. Like that would be the one of the worst, dumbest things you could
do. I don't think the odds of us
I didn't say the
it
odds. I said if it
remotely.
Happened, like you'd be incredibly mad.
Yeah, if
mad.
It happened, but... Yeah, the odds of us winning the lottery, getting the first overall pick, I think are far less than the Bulls actually competing for
the Eastern
Conference.
Yeah, but the value of that is also far different. Who cares? Who cares about 1 year of non-championship winning? Like, that's the thing is, who cares about 1 year of non-championship winning? That's what you want to do? You want to not win a championship but be a little better for 1 year? That's your thing. That's you want to... Put your name on.
You and I have a fundamental disagreement on how good Drew Holiday is.
Yeah, that's true.
I said he was an elite defender. He was, let me just finish this. He was second last year, second. He missed winning the Defensive Player of the Year award by 3 votes. He finished second to Jaren Jackson. He was first all-team defense, all-NBA defense last year. And we would have a team, therefore, with Caruso was first all-NBA defender and Drew Holiday. To me, right away, we're a problem for every team in the NBA defensively. We are an elite defensive team when you have those two guys on the perimeter. And he's essentially kind of replicating the role that Lonzo Ball played, except he's just as good of a defender, I would say a superior defender, not as good of a three-point shooter, yes, but he's a very good offensive player. He's a good two-way player.
How did you do in the playoffs
offensively? I think you've upgraded your team significantly.
How did you do in the playoffs offensively the last 3 years?
He did not play great last year in
for
the playoffs.
For 3 years.
But
not last year, for 3 years. How did he do in the last
he played one round.
3 years in the playoffs?
Well, he won a title. I thought he did pretty good.
How
in the
was his offense the last
title.
3 years?
He had some nice moments.
Want me to throw a number at you?
Wasn't great, but his defense was elite.
Offense in the playoffs the last 3 years, his true shooting percentage in the playoffs, this is over 30 games. Okay, so like nearly like over a third of a season, 40% of a season for 3 years in the playoffs. True shooting percentage next to Giannis, all world super scorer, eyeballing it, it looks like about 47.9%. That is out of the NBA bad on offense. That's how bad his offense was in the playoffs the last 3 years. For 3 years, when he was younger, when he was 31, 30, and 32, 30 through 32. I said that really backwards because I'm apparently number dyslexic.
Would you like to get Joel Embiid?
Sure.
Do you think he's a good player?
I think Joel Embiid is a good player.
Would you like to take a look at his true shooting percentage the last 3 years in the playoffs?
Sure. What is it?
Do you think it's good?
Embiid the third option on his team, shooting only wide open shots? Just curious. Also, his was probably about eyeballing it. It looks like maybe 580. So like the whole 10% better. Like, which is just massive. But, the difference between really good, above league average, and out of the league bad.
He's a center. Yeah.
He's also the number one option, getting like double and triple teamed every possession. Jrue Holiday fell apart
he
on like open.
Significantly
yeah,
worse
sure.
Than
but Jrue Holiday fell apart on open shots, wide open shots. Just was disastrous offensively in the playoffs. Whatever.
No, he wasn't always wide open.
Fine. He wasn't always wide open.
Playing every game in the playoffs.
Yeah, he missed one game. Okay. Out of the 30, he missed one game. It makes a huge difference. The argument completely falls apart.
No, he missed more than one game in the past 30. The past 3 years.
All right. How many did he miss in the last 3 years?
I don't have it in front of me. I don't know off the
top of
my head.
Okay, but it wasn't many.
I specifically remember
Giannis. It wasn't many. It was like, what? You can say he missed 2 games? 3 games? I mean, he was healthy the last 3 years. He missed one game last year.
Who's the second or third best player? Who's the second or third best player on the Bucks?
I mean, Middleton's probably the best player or second best player.
Yeah, and he missed a ton of games, right? Didn't he miss a bunch of playoff games?
Either way, all I'm saying to you is I don't like this trade. I don't think the Bulls will get that much better, and I don't want to continually screw over the future to just keep going all in on this pile of mediocrity. You can disagree with it. It's fine. You want to go all in on the pile of mediocrity and get to maybe like kind of good? That's fine. Like we're better at Jrue Holiday. Like I completely agree with you. We're better at Jrue Holiday. We'll compete for the second round. Wouldn't shock me if we got there one time. I just don't care. I just don't want to give up another unprotected first round pick and continually screw over the future of this franchise for like really minimal short term gains.
But for the record, you would support top four protected.
Probably. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I have to think about it more. I'm on the fence on that.
So let's hear your trade one more
Mine is Caruso, Pat Williams, and Lonzo, and the Portland pick back.
So I think what a lot of people are missing is obviously there's value in getting Lonzo off the roster.
Yeah, you get the cap space back if you get Lonzo off the roster.
Yeah, that you're using then, you're just transferring to a all-NBA defender.
Yeah, I mean,
so like that's
you have big questions on
it,
what you're going to do with Holiday. You know, someone told me on Twitter, I don't know if it was correct or not, that he said this is his last season, he's going to retire. I kind of don't think that'll end up being true.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway.
That's been
proven true
and the Bulls are on
his
assuming,
list. Assuming he wants to play after this year, which, I mean, he has an option year for next year for like $40 million. I can't imagine he's going to give that up. And he might give it up if he opts out to get a new contract, of course. But he's not going to just like retire. I think that makes sense. So, but probably Holiday maybe opts out next year. And then like how much are you going to pay Jrue Holiday at 34? You're the same conversation with DeMar DeRozan. Like, what are you going to do with this team that's a bunch of 34-year-olds?
Well, I thought he's under contract for 2 more seasons.
It's this season, option for next season, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's like if we suck, if we don't. It's a tough question, but we've already kind of committed to this road. That's my bigger point here is that we've already signed Vooch for 3 years. We're going to probably extend DeRozan.
Well, we've not extended. We've not extended DeRozan. Years. Right? We've not extended DeRozan. We've had lots of time to do it.
We would, though.
Would we? I mean, until it happens, just saying, well, we would doesn't mean anything.
I'm just shocked that you don't think...
You're shocked that I want to blow up this team and think it sucks?
Let me finish this.
Sorry.
Hold on one second. Stop. All right, let's look at the lineup. Let's just look at the lineup. Jrue Holiday at point guard. Zach LaVine at shooting guard. DeMar DeRozan at the... or you could actually then put Caruso at the 3, DeRozan at the 4, and Vooch at the 5. You could switch everywhere, with the exception, obviously, of Vooch. You have flexibility with... Then you have Caruso coming off the bench. No, Caruso would be starting. You would have Carter coming off the bench. You'd have Craig coming off the bench. You'd have Coby White. You'd have a deep enough team. Like, to me, that team is right there at number 3 in the East. And you don't... And you're better than the Heat, and you move ahead of Cleveland. I think that team has the ability to... If you get a few things going your way, and that's all you can do. Like... When Toronto made that trade, of course they felt like we're not going to be Golden State. The odds weren't in their favor. Well, what happens? You get in the playoffs, Klay Thompson gets hurt. Guys get hurt. We just spent an hour yelling at each other, and you were saying how you didn't want to do the trade for Dame because you think he's injury prone. Well, an injury prone Dame out and Giannis by himself who can't hit an outside jumper, they lost a lot of these pieces. I like our chances against that team. Don't you?
Look, I don't know how many more ways to say it to you. I think what we have now is a pile of mediocre. It's a 41-ish win team. I do not think that Jrue Holiday added on to a 41-win team makes you a contender. And I do not want to give up future assets to be aggressively mediocre for one more year. So if you disagree with it, that's fine. You are welcome to say, you know what? I want to go from mediocre to good. And I agree, if we added Jrue Holiday, we become good. And if Jrue Holiday was like 30 and was, you know, like whatever, I'd be like, yeah, okay, we can be good for like 3 years. I'm in. But the wheels are going to fall off the bus of this thing so fast. And there's just not enough room for me to say, like, I think it's worth it. At some point, I do not want to sit through 5 years of horrendous, absolute trash. And that is what every single thing this front office has done has pushed us towards. And I don't want to keep going in that direction so we can be mediocre. I need real results that have some level of sustainability to them to move off future assets. And I just don't see that with this team. I don't think anything you're saying is like so wrong or like so off. Like, I agree, Jrue Holiday fills a lot of needs and would help us out a lot. I just fundamentally, we just either you think this will last longer than I do, or you're okay with just like, look, it gets us something exciting for 1 year, and we've not really had, we had excitement for that brief period while Lonzo was healthy, like genuine excitement. And like, maybe you just think like, if we have 1 year of that, and I think Holiday would do that for a year, that's enough. Like, who cares about the next 6 years, 5 years, whatever it is after that? Like, that's enough. But like, it's not for me. I just need more than that.
Yeah, for me, I think we both have a fundamental disagreement on the ceiling of a team if you add Jrue Holiday and are able to keep Caruso. I just think that ceiling is considerably higher. I think we're better than Miami. I think we're better than Cleveland. I think we're better than every team with the possible exception of Boston. And then I feel like, well, once you get to 3... That's all you need to do. Then you're in a conversation, and then you're it. Yeah, our window is 3 years.
It's not,
you know,
3 years.
Who else is about the same age?
It's not,
I mean,
3 years.
Is Jrue Holiday younger than Dame Lillard? They're about the same age, aren't
probably.
They?
Probably. I think
it's a 3 year window.
Yeah, I mean, but Jrue Holiday is a lot worse than Dame Lillard. So like, as they fall,
not defensively.
Who cares?
Not defensively.
You know what? Alex Caruso, you could make a case that he was the best defensive player in the league, and he cost $10 million. You don't pay for defense; you pay for offense.
He's a better two-way player. Yes, he's not in the same stratosphere offensively.
He does not impact wins
Milwaukee
remotely the same. So, like, you could say like he's better all
so
around or
you.
Whatever.
I can't even believe it doesn't impact wins the same. I said he was an elite defender, and you said no, he's not an elite defender. And my counter is, who's better, Caruso? That's about it. There's nobody else in the league better as a perimeter defender than Jrue Holiday. He is freaking elite. He is as good as it comes. He's incredibly versatile. He can guard the four to the one. I don't understand why you just have this. Your opinion on Jrue Holiday is vastly different than mine.
I'm just saying.
And I think that's the heart of the issue.
Let me back off my opinion. It's a very good defender. And I said, it's not worth arguing.
There's no debating that. He's first team All NBA.
Let's just say I don't really respect the All NBA defensive rankings all that much, but let's just say he's a top 20 perimeter defender in the league. So like on any team in the league, he's probably, on most teams in the league, he's probably the best perimeter defender. And I agree with you. We got another one of those guys in Alex Caruso. And I'll say we're great there. Okay. Is that get us close enough in the ballpark of how we believe in his defense? I do not think Jrue Holiday adds 15 wins to a 41-win team, with all of that said. And that's about what you would need to add to this team to make them a legitimate dark horse contender. Not someone who'd be a favorite, but just a dark horse. You need to be about 15 wins better than you were the previous year. And I like Jrue Holiday. I think he's a good player, but I think he's a 3 or 4 win guy in what he's going to add to you. And if he was younger and there was some sustainability to this, and it's going to fall apart, not just because of the age of all these guys, but also the contracts. You're going to have to give DeMar a ton of money. You're going to have to give Holiday a ton of money. You're going to have to squeeze out all these other players to avoid the tax and all this other stuff. You're just too far away, in my opinion. And like I said, if you disagree, it's fine. I get what you're saying. When you start drawing up everyone's players, you're if I squint real hard, I could see the Bulls almost at number 2. I get what you're saying, but I think they're probably in a 3-4 area, and the guys in 5-6 are not all that different. I think they're 50-50 in to get to the second round, because they're going to be playing one of those really good, they're going to be playing another team about the level they are in the second round. They're not going to get one of the scrub teams in the second round. And, and I think it's just going to completely fall apart the next year. So it's the sustainability of it that bothers me, not the overall quality of the product you get. I just think it's giving up another unprotected pick or even top 4 protected pick just to chase a few wins this year just doesn't move me. It's just hard for me to think that you think Jrue Holiday added to a 41-win team just buys you 10 wins.
And Carter and Craig.
Yeah, fine. Carter and Craig, who got kicked off their other teams that were trying to win titles.
No, oh, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. I mean, Craig absolutely was kicked off his team. They signed kicked off. They signed 11.
Maybe Craig.
11
they wanted
minimum
to keep
salary
Carter.
Guys instead of Craig. They absolutely didn't want him. They absolutely didn't want him, and they need a player just like him. I think it's super weird because it seems like a guy they should want. I think it's super weird. We've talked about that a lot. But yeah, Carter, the Bucks wouldn't match $6 million. I mean, come on, that wasn't that much.
Yeah, they couldn't.
He's a $6 million player. We are overrating these guys and their impact. We're overrating these guys and their impact.
He's $18 million. He's $18 million to the Bucks. They were in their luxury tax for 4 straight years.
Okay.
He would $6 million would have put them exponentially higher and more money. They did not want to pay it for him, despite valuing him, despite understanding he's a very good player. He's a very good player. I am really bullish on the Bulls.
That
even
shocks
without
me.
Adding,
I can't imagine
adding Holiday.
When was the last time?
And now, sorry, go ahead. In order to replace Patrick Williams, I've already had a few conversations with some people. Well, you're getting rid of a power forward for Holiday. Number one, Holiday's as good a defender on any 3 or 4 in the league as Patrick Williams. But number two, he's a better rebounder. He averaged over 5 rebounds per game as a quote-unquote guard small forward, as opposed to Patrick Williams, who's allegedly a 4, and he rebounds like a point guard. So, he's better. Period. He raises the ceiling of our team. Period. He's a two-way player. There's very few in the league who are like this, as good with the exception of Jimmy Butler. And finally, and most importantly, if he somehow ends up on another team in the East that is trying to get him, like Philadelphia and Miami, and the Bulls just sit there and let it happen, when they had the capabilities of getting this player in and solidifying our position as number three or four in the East, and they just let it happen because why? Well, we want to wait for the chance for future assets 4 or 5 years down the road. Hopefully, they'll pan out. No, I'm not about that. We already made our bed. We already decided we're going in this direction. Well, let's freaking go in this direction. Let's get rid of Patrick Williams, who's a role player. We all know this. Anyone who's paid attention, yes, he might be great someday. I haven't seen anything to indicate that will happen. He's a valuable role player. I'll trade him for an all-NBA defender who was second in overall votes last year for Defensive Player of the Year. I'm all on board on that. And I think you're maximizing what you've built here. And you believe that's probably a first-round exit. I don't. I think it's a minimum a second-round exit. I think it's a very good chance that team can end up in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think I'm really bullish on that team. I think there's a good shot for us. Because I don't think Boston is as good.
Okay. When was the last time you made a prediction on the Bulls and they did better than you predicted?
When they got Lonzo Ball. I think I predicted them that, well, maybe not. I think I picked 48 wins that year, so they finished.
So let's start with the assessment Let's start with the assessment that you saying you're bullish about something that historically you're like 3 wins, 4 wins higher than what the Bulls do every single year, no matter what. So let's tone down whatever you pick. You're the most C-red person I know. It's even in your nickname.
Well, if they get them, I predict 55 yes. wins. They'll be 52 then. That's pretty
I think
good,
you just it? Added like 5 wins after I made this point. Like you were going to go 49, and then you're like, all right, now I'm going to go ultra C-red, 55.
I should have gone to 60.
Should have gone to 60. Then 56, we were a true contender. Like I said, to me, the thing, I don't care about Pat Williams. I'm with you there. Like the thing is, like I think Pat will be a good player, but so what? He's going to be making then like $20 million a year, and it's like you're going to be able to swap him out. Like he's going to be worth his deal, you know. Like if it all pans out or whatever, he's not going to be a guy that gives you this value. He's not going to be a star player, so it's not going to matter if you give him up. I also think he has very little value for that reason. I don't hate the trade. Especially if you get a little protection on the pick. I don't hate it. But I just don't see any sustainability to it. But I would be excited. It would make the team a lot better. Like I said, I give them 50-50 out of the first round and say like maybe a 10% chance of making the Eastern Conference Finals if they make that trade. Like just off the top of my head. And I think like, yeah, you could convince me that if you have some protection on that pick out in the future, it's okay.
I think you're starting to warm to it then. I think I've broken you down. I agree with you. Like ideally,
hearing,
I'd like to have the protection.
Talk, just 1 second. Like hearing you talk, I agree. Like a lot of things you say make sense. Maybe I'm a little too negative. The risk isn't that high. I don't think there's like any risk in giving up Patrick Williams. Like I think there's zero risk. He'll go on to be an okay player making $20 million. He'll be a $20 million player making $20 million. That's what's going to happen with Patrick Williams, and that doesn't matter.
Right, you know. Exactly.
And if you get protection on the pick, you lose. You stop yourself from the worst case of like, wow, we're completely hosed. You know, so that also to me then becomes like, all right, we're not going to give up the next LeBron, even if that's only like a 10% chance it happens. You know, at least we've guarded ourselves off that 10% of giving up that. And, you know, then it's like, all right, now your worst case scenario, you're giving up like a future Kobe White or Pat Williams or someone like that. And like, all right, this sucks, but whatever. You're giving up a future Franz Wagner. You know, like, yeah, okay, like sucks we don't have Franz Wagner, but it's not like the end of the world.
What you're trading Lonzo Ball's salary space, which is dead now,
yeah,
really.
Dead.
And you're also trading a young player that Portland, so I tested this with my friend who's a huge Blazers expert and fan, and I asked him, who would you rather have, Kuminga, because the rumors are out there about Golden State and Patrick Williams, Golden State and trading Kuminga, one of their young assets, and a draft pick for Chris Paul, and which obviously, to make the salary work, to, you know, making that trade and sending Drew Holiday to the Warriors. And he said, I would prefer Kuminga to Patrick Williams. So that gave me a little bit of concern, a little bit of a pause, because I'm trying to gauge the value of Patrick
Williams.
I think
it's none.
The league. I don't think,
I think it's none.
I don't think it's anywhere near.
I mean, like, I think it's near zero. Because the thing is, the reason why it's near zero is.
It's not near
it's
zero.
It's near zero. No, but listen, hear me out.
It's not excitement.
Hear me out. It's near zero because Next year, you're going to have to renegotiate a large contract for him anyway. Like, he's not shown you all that much. He's like, you look at him and you're like, all right, probably a rotation player for a long time. Maybe if all works out well, he's a good, like, fourth starter. But, like, the upside isn't that high. And then it's like, all right, you're also going to have to pay him a truckload of money, most likely. So it's like, now you're getting a player who's worth his salary. Like, that's not, and, you know, you don't have any years of cheap salary. There's not this really high ceiling. So I think that's why it's just like, it's just not that big. You know, if there was more time, if he had like 2 years on his rookie deal, I think it'd be better, a lot better, you know, but there's just not that much now. You know, it's kind of like Lauri Markkanen, like in the year before we traded him. Or, you know, I guess we traded him when he was a free agent in the sign and trade. But it was like when we were looking for trades for him. And it's like Lauri showed a whole lot more than Pat Williams did. But there was still no trade market for him because it was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to re-sign this guy to a deal. And I know he wants more money than the Bulls want to pay him. You know, so it's like that's like the other piece in this. It's just like the finances. That's why he doesn't have that much value. It's his current contract situation that causes that. It's not like, wow, I think Patrick Williams is so bad. The one thing I'm going to just throw out there, and like for you, is I think we could maybe get this done by giving Portland their pick back. And I think that's like a lot more preferable than giving out another Bulls pick. And the reason I say that is, you know how we're like hamstrung, we can't do anything because of our 2025 pick and all the protection runs out to like 2028. Like Portland's in that same boat because of all the protection on the pick they gave us. So like if they get their pick back, it gives them like actually like a whole lot of flexibility. And they might say, you know, that like flexibility plus our pick back is actually worth more than like the Bulls pick, which is so far out, like it's 2029. And then like, who knows what the Bulls will be in 2029? Like that pick may have like whatever value anyway.
Is it really that advantageous? Cause I was talking about this with the Portland fan, and his point was, we know we're going to suck next year and we're probably going to suck the following year. Like we're ready for that. We expect that.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to get that pick. The Bulls aren't going to get that pick anyhow.
But they'll get it eventually.
His argument was like, why is that attractive to us to give us our pick back since it is
because they can't because they can't ever trade a bunch of other stuff. Like, so say Scoot Henderson becomes awesome and you draft someone else who's awesome. And now you want to make a trade for someone with a couple of picks and you have three awesome guys and you can't do it because you've got this weird protection on this pick. Like, it just ruins so much flexibility. The thing is, it's like, I'm not saying the pick is like so valuable to them for that reason. Like, I agree, it's not like so valuable. But if you compare it to a Bulls 2029 pick that has some protection on it now, it's like you're going to wait 6 years to get an average pick. It's like probably the result of that.
Yeah.
Versus getting your own pick back, which gives you like a ton of flexibility in between and removes these like handcuffs you have. The thing about the Portland pick and why I think it just might be interesting, and who knows, maybe it wouldn't be. Like, I could be totally way off on this. But my thought is that pick has a lot less value to us and a lot more value to Portland in a trade. Like when you're making a trade fundamentally, like always what you're trying to do is you're like Jrue Holiday has more value to us than Portland because Portland isn't trying to win now and we are, right? So like that asset has more value to us than them. The Portland pick, whatever value it is, it's not absolute. Like the value of the actual selection is the value to us. But to Portland, it's the value of the actual selection plus all the flexibility they gain by being able to do different trades. So like, you can say that extra value is whatever you want to say, but it's clearly worth more to them than us. How much more is maybe up for debate, but it's worth more to them than us. And maybe that extra value to them makes it worth more than our 2029 pick, which also has protection on it. And because it's so far in the future, we can only like protect it for like 2 years before it becomes second rounders. So there's a like a high risk, maybe it becomes second rounders, depending on what you do. So anyway, that's what I would say. Now, of course, if they just say, no, give us the 2029 unprotected, then I'm back at a hard no.
So you would say yes, though, if it was, oh, we just give them their pick back. I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. You cannot say no to that. Patrick Williams will give you your pick back.
Yeah, I'm in on that. That
and
version of the
what
trade,
I proposed is, yeah. I was talking to Jeff Tyree, who's a friend of mine, who huge Bucks fan, really smart NBA player. And he made the point in the last couple of years that he thought the Bulls always gave him problems. Like, he thought the Bulls were problematic because they had really good scoring wings, guys that could, and it was tough for them to match up defensively because he felt like, well, Jrue Holiday would lock down one, but then you have to use somebody else on the others, and the Bucks preferred to use kind of like Giannis as a roamer, and ideally he would be more of kind of like a help defender. It was like a long discussion on when the Bucks are at their best. And now, if you're playing the Bulls, you have to deal with three elite perimeter defenders, or really good perimeter defenders, depending on how you consider Javon Carter to be. You have a guy who could stop the point of attack, and let's say you're Boston, then you throw Caruso on one of the on Tatum, and you throw Drew Holiday on Brown, and now we're cooking with gas. And now you also got to stop DeMar and Zach on the offensive end, and Drew Holiday's a pretty good, versatile player too. Like, I really think that's a tough team to play. We still have the issue with no rim protection. We still have, you know, some issues with the big, great recruiter, and what's he going to do if he's going to continue to shoot the three so poorly. But, man, I'm all on board on that team. Like, I think that team would scare the crap out of the two best teams in the East, which are Boston and the Bucks. And as you said on the last show that we didn't post, like, you're an injury to Dame away from, like, what are you doing then if you're the Bucks? You're beatable then, right? And he's missed a lot of games, yeah, right? You made that point.
In the end,
is he going to be playing a lot?
It's a fair point. In the end, all I say is my problem with the trade, if you are giving up significant future assets, and I do not count Pat Williams as a significant future asset. I do not count the Portland pick as a significant future asset. But if you're giving up significant future assets, I don't think there's any sustainability to this group. So that's the problem. Is I don't believe in it as much as you. I think it's maybe I think they're like a 43-44 win team now, and I think Holiday makes them like a 47-48 win team, which is historically like the 4-5 type of team. And so like I said, that's pretty good. Like, I'd be excited about that if I thought they could maintain that for like 2 or 3 years. I just think it would be a one and done scenario at that level, because all, like, so many of the key guys are like aging out, and then the contracts are going to get so much worse. Which is why, just like I said, for me, it's like drawing the line on the unprotected like 2029 pick. I do not want to be paying and having just like a terrible 2026 through 2031 watching this team because of the last 4 years. And that's like really kind of like what we're going at. Like, it's like, we're just, you know, so that's the thing to me. I just don't want, you can't give out more unprotected first round picks in the future, or even like lightly protected. I think like I need like top 7 protection. And that's why I threw out Caruso. So maybe we spend a lot of time talking about your thing, which we're not even sure we can do and be in the luxury tax, out of the luxury tax, which I think is a critical thing. So I'd like you to comment on my thing. So like, obviously you give Caruso up, you know, Portland's going to flip Caruso for something else of value. And that gives them, the Caruso becomes the main value piece going back, in my opinion. But they get their own pick back, which is like nice for them because it gives them flexibility. They get Pat Williams, who's like, all right, we take a flyer on him. Maybe he's good. He fits the timeline now of what we're trying to do if we bring him in and we like him. And like, they don't really have a guy like that on the roster, so he probably fits in well with a lot of things they want to do. So I think that's like a pretty reasonably appealing package to Portland. And I'm not sure anyone else beats that package, to be honest, if it's Pat, Caruso, and the Portland first with Lonzo. And another thing we didn't mention, I initially got this wrong on Twitter when I was talking about it, but one of the users, and I apologize for forgetting which one it was, corrected me. Lonzo's money is all covered by insurance, so he'll be on the books for 2 years, but they're not going to be in the tax or anything. They're probably not going to be a free agent spender. And so, like, from a cash perspective, they actually save a ton of money on this trade because they're only going to pay Lonzo $8 out of the $40 million that he's owed in, like, real cash. So what do you think of the trade I threw? Like, obviously the team's not as good, right? You lost Caruso. But would you do that trade still?
I honestly probably wouldn't. I don't think it's a contender because you're taking away a great player, a great defender like Caruso. And in doing so, you're not adding. You're just replacing him with Drew Holiday, who's a better offensive player. But I don't think the delta's that different.
For sure a better offensive player
between those two.
Oh, I think it's a pretty big delta on offense, though.
I don't.
Even though I did say like Drew Holiday was just absolutely terrible in the playoffs, and he was. I mean, like, Holiday theoretically can shoot. He can definitely pass. He can definitely do a lot more off the dribble. I mean, he's like way more versatile offensively than Caruso.
He's better.
Caruso really is like a negative on offense. You know, it's like even scared to take shots. Like, you know, Holiday gives you a lot on offense. Maybe you don't need the offense as much given the big three. Like, you don't need the volume.
I just don't think it moves a needle.
It's interesting that it's interesting to me though that like you wouldn't do that. Only so the thing The thing I'd say to you, though, is that trade, I agree with you, it doesn't move the needle as much as your trade. Because keeping Caruso does give you another really valuable player, but I'm going to counterpoint, like, it doesn't cost you anything either.
Well, it costs you Alex Caruso.
Like, the Portland pick is not going to be high upside for us. Well, but in the long run, it makes you better today, and it makes you better probably next year still. And then Caruso's gone anyway.
What do you think the best five players on the Bulls would be? Can you imagine us closing with Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Caruso, Holiday, and Vooch? Instead, what are you closing with? Carter? Is Carter replacing?
You're probably throwing out Caruso for Carter.
Tremendous.
Who you also described as an elite
He's not
defender.
As good as Caruso. He doesn't have the size or versatility. No, he doesn't have the size or versatility that I love about Caruso and I love about Holiday. Those two players, you could switch whenever you want. It kind of like nullifies a lot of the things that teams will be doing. I actually could foresee it also where you could throw Caruso on Giannis like they've done before, and it kind of almost nullifies completely the pick and roll action that Dame is going to have. I mean, that's going to be the staple of their offense going forward, or it should be. Yeah, go ahead. Do pick and roll. Drew Holiday is so versatile. He'll stick him to the best of his ability. I actually think he'll guard him as well as any other player in the NBA could. Like, I really love the idea of those two guys nullifying the wing talent in the East. And I'm talking specifically there about Dame, Giannis, and then for Boston, obviously, Tatum and Brown. I really think that's a great – and look at Miami.
Let's just say they don't like your deal.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it, Doug. I'd ride with what we have.
So you're just saying you'd, in the end, you'd rather have Caruso and Pat Williams than Drew Holiday.
Yes.
Okay.
But what about you? What do you say?
I would probably do it.
It's a tough question.
So I think that's interesting that we've got two different Drew Holiday trades and we're on different sides.
Yeah.
I think the trade I mentioned, it makes us better today, and I don't think it matters at all in 3 years. It's like irrelevant. And so I like that because it's just a win and no loss. And I think your trade is a bigger win today and a bigger loss.
There's no doubt. But here's the thing out of it all. There's so many teams now that want Drew Holiday, and there's going to be such a bidding process. I honestly don't even think my deal will get it done because, like, Williams, we both agreed, probably isn't valued as highly outside of our city. So what are you really getting to them, giving to them? You'd probably have to give them their number one back and an unprotected first out there. And that would potentially get it done. To me, that's a deal that would get done if I was Portland. But I would demand that. And I think you could get better than that.
I think my deal probably has a good chance of being the best deal. I mean, it's hard to say, but it's under the assumption that Alex Caruso has pretty good trade value and can fetch them another, like, really solid
pick. If you were Portland, would you rather take that deal that you're proposing?
Which I think you could do.
Or would you rather take the Knicks sending RJ Barrett and the boatload of draft assets that they have compared to us? And an unprotected.
I'd take the Barrett and picks deal from Portland, probably. You just need like, whatever, the shotgun approach to it. Give me a bunch of picks, even if they're not great. Try and bring in players. Barrett's still, comparatively to Pat Williams is, probably like a
you could probably argue
type of
Williams is a better fit
in a totally different way. Yeah, you could argue like Williams is like you have certainty that Williams will be valuable, but also you're pretty certain his value is going to be capped at like fourth best starter on a team. And I think like RJ Barrett is one of those guys where it's like, is he like his role is more valuable, but he's not good enough at it. And if he can't fill that role because he's not good enough, then he's like almost like no value, if that makes sense. It's like if you're a scorer, but you're not an efficient enough scorer, then like, what do you do now? And so like, I think like RJ Barrett has like a wider range of potential outcomes. Like if he, And he's trending towards the negative of those ranges, in my opinion. But he's got a wider range. Like, if it works out, it'll work out better for RJ Barrett, probably. But I think, like, Pat is, like, to me, like, it's weird. Like, people, depending on who I'm talking to, they either think I'm a huge Pat fan or a huge Pat hater. And that's because people are so bipolar on him when it's like, Pat's actually, the opposite. Like he's not a bust, and he's also not a high ceiling guy. He's like a probably just a really good player, and that's it. But like with almost no chance of being a great player, and you know, people seem to just want to think one thing or the other. Like he's the worst or he's the best, and I think actually he has like a pretty narrow range of outcomes at this point. Like he's growing defensively, and with iterative improvement, he's going to be a solid defender, and he's a good, you know, catch and shoot, wide open 3-point shooter. And like, there's really no reason to think anything else significant is going to change.
Agreed on all counts. We got to wrap this up. I got to bring the bus in. We're already almost at 50 minutes in DT. You know how this NBA season goes. By the time I get this posted and cut later today, I mean, the deal could already, this all could be,
yeah, Drew Holiday's traded to someone. So
let's get it up now. Man, it's always good to talk to you, DT. And even the contentiousness, there was a little bit of tension, but it was still a little bit more moderate. We were able to talk on a very good basis today. It was a very meaningful, positive stuff.
We brought it together to the end.
We brought it together.
Yeah, we brought it together at the end. We brought it together at the end, you know. I think you convinced me a little bit of your case. I think I moved from my initial
never
stance.
Never been so proud.
I think I was sold by your arguments. So, you know, good job. Good job today, Fred. You're changing the mind, hearts and minds of America.
I hope I've changed your minds too, who's ever listening who disagreed with the value of the great defender in Drew Holiday. Godspeed. Let's bring the bus in, and let's hope this deal gets done. Because you'll admit, Doug, let me throw this out there, just last question, and then we'll bring in the bus in. Let's say the trade that I propose goes through. You give up Patrick Williams, you forget Drew Holiday, and you also, Lonzo Ball and cap filler, whatever that is, to make this deal happen. How many wins does that team have?
I think in the, 48, 49 range.
Okay, that's pretty rosy. That's a good season. We're pretty excited over 48, 49 win team. And yeah, I'd say 55.
I would not be excited about the long-term impacts of that move, and I wouldn't think it was worth it. But it would make this year a heck of a lot more fun. Like, no doubt. Like, absolutely. It would make this year a lot better. And, you know, probably next year still, assuming you're able to figure out how to bring back DeMar and Drew, and no one falls off a cliff and you don't have serious injuries and like all the other, you know, kind of like outlier things that will happen to some teams and you hope don't happen to you. Probably have like a two-year considerable.
Two-year challenge window. Sounds good, my man. Until next time, let's go Bulls. All right, brother.
Go
good
Bulls.
Talking to you, DT.